many things, politics and
Dharma.
Who likes politics?
They all post. We all post like...
No, I don't like. I usually don't like. It's just he starts and I like to counter. When he's saying he doesn't like America's system, just that. Something he says makes me react.
But that means you have read something, otherwise you have nothing to
discuss. No. I don't like to read papers or anything, but you get, sometimes, even if you don't read, you hear. From here, there, you get information.
You don't have to read by yourself.
Mm. Or you don't watch TV, talking
about... No news, no. I don't like...
So where does that impression?
I watch movies. Yes.
So all your argument based on the movie.
Only one on movies. And you?
I read the headline sometime and depend on the topic.
Headlines, yes. I read the headlines. I do that too.
I used to read a bit more detail, but recently I'm not that interested. But still some headlines only.
Because if you don't want to read, you can turn on the TV.
Yeah.
And if someone turns on the TV and you're there, you happen to,
right. And Sundra read a lot, right?
You are not interested in New Zealand's politics, but you are interested.
Yeah. He's more interested in America.
I'm not interested. Yeah. Well, I watch a lot of YouTube by chance sometimes, but other sides I like to see, because I think we are just told one side of the story and we don't hear the other side.
Right.
Yeah,
so I like to learn both sides. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's helpful that we always just hear one side.
Well, you hear anything, you know that it's one side, so...
Maybe both sides.
No, but usually if you hear...
channel. This is the world today. It's getting worse and worse.
And the thing is that one of the suttas the Buddha talked about, a person who has not reflected on old age, sickness and death, have wasted their life. It seems monks also don't think, I mean, even old monks...
Because they don't understand the teachings. This is the point.
I mean, even people of other religions, sometimes they think also about old age and we are going to die. And
the other religions?
Yes. In the sense of conventional way that we're all going to die, so they can have some... They know it's what's the use of fighting with each other and all that. And the important thing, we all know we are going to die, so why...
So live? Take much pleasure as one can.
See, that's what they think.
Yeah. No understanding of no self at all. So just live. To understand actually that no one at all. Not I, because there are different chetasikas each day.
Mm. I mean, that's the difference between the Dharma and other teachings. Other teachings can contemplate on death, but it's still I. Whereas the Dharma is death all the time. Death all the time.
So now, see, all dharmas are gone without being.
I like what you said once. I mean, at that time it made a lot of good impression. We remember to forget.
That's all. Actually, nothing. Or it's nothing. Because they're completely gone. Never to return. Even right now. And when Panya hasn't arisen to that degree yet. No one can understand the meaning of it. See? But now we're talking about Dhammas just to be able to attain that knowledge. Nothing. No, so no matter it's blame or praise, nothing. That's why we are not afraid of what they attack us. Because we have all Dhammas. Mm-hmm. We can talk and tell them about Dhamma. To be friendly, Kalyanamitta, to everyone who cannot understand the value of Dhamma.
Yesterday, Achan, you were saying that in relation to Brahma Viharas, that you go through metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha. But for us, even metta is so hard.
Because you see that with the idea of self urged us to do many things different from the parami. See, not to see the value of parami. For example, when I was young, or I helped many people in needs, but the more I understand in the Dhamma, so many people around the world, they are the same, not just that one. Kunundan, like before this, she liked to go to the Ayutthaya and for the cows to be killed. She said
she
buy the cow. Many, many times. To me, I think that, what about the other cow?
No, that's what I always say. Why you think particularly about this? Yes. There's so many around.
And people and everywhere. So everything becomes equal more. And when times come, right thing to do, the best thing is to have them understood the teaching. But if not, we can help them away from troubles or diseases like that. But not just thinking about the group, or because so many people that one cannot help. So many we can help just very little. So it depends on time come for those who has benefit to understand the teachings.
I told him it's all attachment and ignorance. It's he said, how attachment? I'm helping a cat. I said, why you think only about cat? Why not a dog? Why not
cat? Yeah, and others, see.
And they have cats upstairs. Mm-hmm. And anyone wants to take, the cats can take. And it's a big investment, and he's regretting that why he started all this.
Different accumulations.
But that's the problem
when we want... But that's the reason why from having metta, it comes to karuna. Help those who are in need, and then mudita
for people.
Yeah, and finally upekkha.
I find mudita so difficult. Mostly we're jealous of people. We're not happy about people.
No, because of the karma. See, because nothing can be such without karma. The right conditions for such and such happiness.
That's what I was saying. It's for you. It's different for me. Even metta is so difficult. Not talk about karuna sometimes, a little bit arises and then becomes dosa, and then and finding someone else to blame.
Until it's so natural to be such.
But why? Sorry.
To be friendly, and that's why it can be moment of helpful for whatever appears then, and then mudita for anything.
Yeah, and that's very difficult.
Finally, people are just different, has different conditions.
Metta is to all beings. Karuna is to who is actually suffering. But I thought karuna may be easier because you see someone or some being are suffering.
But without metta, to be friendly, you can, like, so condition.
And like I said, it's very tricky. You can have dosa, not karuna.
Karuna.
And also after karuna, immediately dosa, because you don't like the situation. You have karuna, someone suffering, and then you have unpleasant feeling.
And finally, when it's your habit, you don't have to force yourself to be such and such. That's why even visiting the person who has a very bad disease, we can have pleasant feeling, see. That's the degree of understanding.
Karuna.
The truth, whether there is a little bit of dosa or not.
Karuna could arise with pleasant feeling. That's very strange.
No, it has to. When it's not, when it's unpleasant feeling, then it's not karuna.
No, it could be indifferent feeling.
Karuna. Yeah.
But I mean, it could be pleasant feeling at the same time.
More than that. Yeah. Not just indifferent. It can be pleasant.
Pleasant, right.
To be pleasant to the sick one. Otherwise, that person would get sicker. The other cry, or things, such things. So the use of understanding clearly about the teachings is so helpful. Because it develops by its own way, secretly. No one knows right now. See, each word, condition.
Yeah, it has to be natural. If it's not natural, then we're going wrong way.
Mm-hmm. The self is there, just wants to be there. But the understanding doesn't give rise of the unpleasant feeling at all. At moment, I understand the cause, the conditions of the situation, understanding with pleasant feeling. See? That's why the anagami does not have the dosa, no matter in what situation.
Because I was thinking about upekkha and mana, but mana is not overcome by upekkha.
No. Panya only.
Hmm.
And why you see the relationship?
Mana is a comparison, upekkha is...
No. It's no need to compare.
Right.
No, mana is not just that. Upekkha is not a question of not comparing. Upekkha is not a question of not comparing. It's understanding.
There are three kinds of upekkha.
Yeah. Say sankhara upekkha.
Up to that degree? Or just tatra machatata chidasika.
Okay. But if we are talking about metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha, that upekkha is very high degree of upekkha. It's not just the cittasika, right?
But it can start now.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyone can have upekkha with understanding that nothing can be done.
But the reason I was thinking about the overcome is because the five hindrances.
No need to overcome because as soon as it has risen, it performs that function already.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything special? Like, I hate to catch it down anymore. What?
Not really, I'm just happy to listen today, Ajahn. I was thinking I'd like to ask about, not now necessarily, I'm appreciating what's been talked about at the moment. So that's always, just to hear Dhamma is a blessing. And I was thinking before, you were saying you were talking about people who mostly today in the world, they don't understand Dhamma, and you have given an incredible gift to myself and to many other people, helping to understand what is Dhamma. That's the greatest gift. I appreciate that more and more, especially as I get older. You know, that's without life without Dhamma is an empty life, and it's a life of sadness, really, and people don't understand because they live in a very selfish way and they live in a very destructive way, both to themselves obviously and to all the people who are around them. So it's a sad
thing. And Panya does not arise with dosa. Panya does not arise with dosa.
No.
Unpleasant feeling.
No. So the one can appreciate Dhamma at any level is a great advantage. I appreciate that more and more. And, sometimes I think samsara without Dhamma, and I think, oh dear me, this wouldn't be very nice. But one thing we did talk about yesterday, and I know I need to learn, Kun Tsukin talked about the Patisambhidas, the Atta Dhamma, Niruti and Patibhana, but perhaps if you could talk a little bit about Niruti Patisambhida, just a little bit about what it means.
Okay, you know what Dhamma is?
Not really.
Dhamma is?
Oh yes, I thought because we talk about Dhamma.
That is the meaning. What do you know now?
Dhamma Patisambhida.
Yes.
So I'm not too sure what that means. That's
why we have to talk about now.
Mm-hmm.
There is the understanding of the meaning of Dhamma.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Niruti?
It probably involves a little. Yes, it does. If you understand Dhamma, it would be involved.
The word is there. Dhamma.
Yes.
It depends on the understanding. But the understanding as a translation is that which is real. And do you understand better about what is the meaning of the word Dhamma as Nirupti, or just the translation.
I see, yes, okay. Yeah. So to understand the true meaning of Dhamma.
Nirupti Sam.
So, Achan, it's something like the word Dhamma is more suitable to represent Dhamma than, say, reality?
Because that's the Pali language has the word reality, or the Thai word, that which is real. See, that's why the understanding of the words in different languages, or even in one's own language. Because the Thai hear the word Dhamma many, many times, no understanding or wrong understanding. They think that it's only good or wholesome is Dhamma. See, that is Nirupti Sambhita, but it's Sambhita at all.
Yeah, it's like I notice when people come along to the foundation and people talk about the word conditions, and they have their own idea of conditions, and it's often a very unhelpful
word. Even the Thai word Vajra, it doesn't mean that all can understand the deep meaning of it.
No.
They just know the how what does mean, only that. But no, not enough understanding.
So, actually, to understand one word, we have to hear so much.
To know and understand Dhamma. Otherwise it's wrong.
Because ultimately the word Patisambhita means the fine divisions, the fine aspects, the fine details.
Of all four.
Yeah, of all four.
What are the four?
Atta, Dhamma, Patibhana and Nirutti, or Nirutti and then Patibhana. And then each one of them would have fine details.
And finer and finer.
And finer and finer, yes, yes, of course. So
it's like just understanding deeper and deeper.
More and more. That's why there are many class on Abhidhamma. But what about the understanding? They have the Sammapatipatti. How come if there's the understanding as Patisambhita? It doesn't mean that they don't know what is meant, word by word, translated, but not enough understanding.
And that's how Tula Pindaka was said to have Patisambhita, although he didn't know words, but he had the understanding.
Pacheka Buddha.
And Pacheka Buddha.
And the one who understands the translation deeper, it does mean that he understands
the reality.
The reality.
Not only does not understand, also misunderstand. Could also misunderstand.
Misunderstand.
Not only does not understand.
Right, that's the danger.
Like the Abhidhamma teacher.
Yeah, that's a good point, Vince, too. That not only do they not understand, but they
actually not only not understand, they misunderstand. That's right.
It's sort of a double aspect.
And we can get fresh air then.
Just coming back, if I may, Ajahn, then to that those Patisambhidas. The difference, say, when we talk about Atta, which relates to meaning or truth, we can know the translation, but that doesn't necessarily help. How would you distinguish, say, at a finer level, the difference between, say, Atta?
What is the result of now?
The past. What is the result of now? The past is conditioning the future. Mm-hmm. That's what, but I can know that intellectually.
No. Now, seeing, hearing, experiencing that which appears at the body now. Atta Patisambhita. It does mean that you understand the word which is the result, but the moment of being a result.
And some of the conditions that support that.
Understanding. Each word of the Buddha brings about understanding only. no matter Vinaya, Sutta or Abhidhamma. Otherwise, it's not the words of the Buddha. So what is the translation or the meaning of Patisamvita?
Well, the word Patisamvita literally means the very fine details. That's what it's the
division. So it depends on how much details is understood. Mm. Not just read.
Obviously, Ajahn, only few of the disciples had that level of understanding. So it has to be about understanding, not just remembering the words.
But perhaps I'm thinking too, Ajahn, there just to perhaps get a better appreciation. There would have been many, no doubt, even arahatas, who wouldn't be accomplished necessarily in the, certainly Mahasavakas, I can imagine easily, but ordinary, say, if I can use that word, ordinary arahata, they would not necessarily have a keen understanding of the Patisamvitas.
Before becoming arahata, is it not keen enough to become arahata?
So we can say they're just...
That is the extra.
Extra. Like some are said to be special, more than others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there was Kachayana. So it's appreciating more keenly or more precisely what...
On different aspects of reality.
And the more that's understood, the better it helps and supports deeper understanding.
Mokalana, foremost in superpower.
Yeah.
Well, Sariputta also has superpower, but not as much as Mokalana.
No.
And which is probably expressed when they speak Dhamma to others. It shows that
that's
they have...
That's why many, many different aspects for this one. So beautiful explanation in details, while the other can express very good in details but not as beautiful.
That's true. Oh, that would be Patibhana. But
okay, whatever you'd like to fit in.
Okay.
No, the thing is, the point is that some people can explain in details with a certain level of understanding, another can explain with clearly with much higher level of understanding.
And when we talk about beautiful, there are many aspects too.
Of beautiful, yes. And of course, the Buddha himself would be the foremost in doing, in being able to do the most beautiful.
That's why we don't think anyone can replace you, Ajahn.
Not me, no me. No me at all.
Sure. Yeah, they're good reminders, Ajahn. I know Khunsa Khyun is speaking conventionally, and I endorse what he says entirely, because as I was saying before, life is empty without Dhamma. But you don't know that. When you live a life without Dhamma, that's unknown. It's only when you begin slowly to appreciate Dhamma you see the incredible benefit that it has. And you can imagine, I know earlier life without Dhamma, even as a bhikkhu, even as a monk, or even as a samanera, certainly when I come to Thailand, I felt very much at home in Thailand. But
and the word in the Tipitaka is so beautiful.
That's true.
When there's more and more understanding. For example, now, those people who can understand not as well as people in the Buddha's time, or the one who just begin to hear the teachings. It's just like the frog under the coconut shell. It's covered up.
So we are still under the coconut shell. Once the shell is removed, then we know we were in the coconut shell.
Yeah. Much more than
that's a useful analogy, Ajahn. I've never heard that before, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Or hearing with headphones.
To know that much more to be experienced.
Yes, that's true. Oh, yes. No, that's... I can appreciate that, Ajahn, because yes, I seem so dull still.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're just vague, and then so much ignorance, attachment.
It's like the moment when firstly, hearing the teachings. So, amazing.
Uh-huh.
Not enough. Just the beginning.
Just the beginning.
Otherwise, one cannot understand the virtues of the Buddha. The understanding, great understanding, and comparable understanding.
That's almost so difficult to even imagine. But you can imagine a little bit. Yeah.
For example, the moment of awareness directly of only one object now. All gone without no awareness, no direct awareness. So there cannot be the understanding of each different one.
You're saying, Ajahn, it's like as compared to, like right now we're saying, seeing is real. It's different from when there's satipatthana to know that it is.
To learn to understand, just to learn to understand the reality, not just hearing about it. Like hardness, many, many moments gone with hardness, no understanding as one learned or listened about it. But every word of the Buddha will lead to understanding, sooner or later, depending on conditions, just to detach, to learn that actually no one gone all the time.
Then yesterday we were talking about the meaning of satcha. So Vince was wondering why the same word is used for samuti satcha and paramatha satcha, even though samuti is not real.
It's but without it, can who know what is what?
Right. But why use the word satcha? Satcha should be applied only to what's real.
Because it is real for those who have the same idea to use
so
such words.
So conventional means agreed upon convention. You agree that this is a table. I agree that this is a table. Mm-hmm. So the meaning of satcha is not necessary.
That's why there is the word paramatha satcha and samuti satcha.
And then we went on to talk about satcha as in speaking the truth. So that's another meaning?
Yes, because we talk about what kind of satcha.
Samuti satcha, in a sense, can also be an illusion.
It depends.
It is.
You say
the table, we say table
is
not
illusion,
real.
Right.
If you say that life is permanent.
Life is permanent.
What satcha?
It's not satcha. Life is permanent.
You know what is the meaning of life and you know what's the meaning of impermanent?
Oh, it's impermanent. Life is impermanent.
Or permanent.
Okay.
If one would say life is permanent, you know that it's different from impermanent.
Mm-hmm. You will quickly say it's not true, but you're still agreeing that you're talking about the same thing, life. So it's a conventional idea that you agree with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So life is either permanent or impermanent. You agree that life is a conventional reality. But of course we understand after hearing the Dhamma that life in the real sense is citta, cetasika. But we can talk conventionally about life as in we were born and we'll die one day also.
So what is this?
This is paper, the notebook.
Oh, see, everyone agrees it's paper.
Mm-hmm.
That is samuti satcha.
Okay.
If you say no, it's not paper, see.
Yeah, because I have satcha here.
Oh.
You have what? Sorry,
oh dear. Paramatha or samuti. See, paramatha or samuti.
different moment.
No.
No.
You have to be sure.
Oh, you mean just the words? Samuti. Yeah.
Samuti.
Just the word.
Samuti. See? You agree now. No. That is samuti. Satya. But it's satya.
You have to use the word satya. Can you not use the word satya with that? It's a table. It's satya. It's true.
It's true.
The sound is the sound.
And even though it's still conventional, like, it's interesting to note that the Buddha, even though before in his journey through samsara, I think this, he never told a lie. He always spoke the truth. I heard killed at one time. May have stolen, I don't know, but I heard he killed as a bodhisattva. But he never lied. He didn't, and it's an interesting word in English, means to lie down. You know, you're not upright. But he always spoke the truth. And if we're wanting to seek the truth, we should always speak the truth. It's like if we don't speak the truth, we're being dishonest about, you know, you've got that word on your shoulder there.
But even during the moment of not being honest, there could be such a pyramid of knowing that, right?
Yeah, different moments.
Yeah, different moments.
Different moments.
If you just think that satya is word, that's all.
But a lie is a...
Okay.
Samudit satya is only word.
Only words, okay.
And the Buddha, when he spoke to his son Rahula, and he said to him very clearly, when he came to visit him, Rahula had put out a water thing to clean his feet, and the Buddha cleaned his feet with that little kan, in Thai, I don't know what you call it.
Kan,
They cleaned his feet, and then the Buddha threw away the water in that container, and he said to Rahula, do you see how empty that, well, see that little tiny bit of water? First of all, he said, do you see that little tiny bit of water in this, that's left over after I've cleaned my feet? And he said, Amabhante, yes I do, sir. And he said, that is how much of a samana is left in somebody who tells intentional lies. That there's just that little tiny bit. And then even the Buddha, that little tiny bit left over, he threw it away. And he said, see how empty it is? And he said to his son, empty is the life of a samana who tells intentional lies. And then he even turned it upside down and said, see how turned upside down it is? He said, yes, I do see. He said, turned upside down is the life of a samana who tells intentional lies. And then he turned it back up again and he said, see how hollow it is? He said, hollow is the samana who tells intentional lies. Mm-hmm. I think it's very, truth speaking is paramount, I believe, for the life of the samana, you know, and we certainly can consider ourselves samanas in some respects. And truth speaking is so important, you know. I think so. If we all treasured truth, and of course, I think the more you treasure truth, the more you are open to hear the truth.
Yeah. But what Vince is saying is that, even if you lie, but you know that you lie.
You're truthful to you, just lie truthful. And then...
And or, then, yes. Yeah. And then it's good, if you can, to speak that truth to the person. Look, I've just remembered, possibly that's not quite true.
Like your wife, you may have a hard time, your wife asks, do I look good in a dress? And then, and then what would you say if you don't think so?
I think there's always lots of things you can say to somebody. Because you treasure truth, you can say...
That depends. I mean, it would be good if you can speak the truth.
Always.
No, they say she'll be very disappointed.
Never mind.
No, never.
Okay. I think the truth is the truth. I think people think in the West, because they call it to tell a white lie. It's okay to tell white lies.
It's not okay.
No, never. A lie is a lie. A lie is not white. It's like, then you can say there's such a thing as white stealing, or white killing, or white whatever. It's true or it's not true. And I think we can become more and more skillful when somebody puts us in an uncomfortable position, like you, the example you gave there, and if your wife asks, say, look, you can say, I love you. You know, I care for you deeply. There's nothing I wouldn't do. You don't have to answer it directly. She says, but I look good here.
You look better in the other one.
Then you can say, do you like it? Do you feel comfortable with it? Well, yes, I do. Well, that's okay by me. There's lots of ways you can speak.
And it could be okay also, right? You may not like it, and then you think, oh, it's okay, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Right?
The most important thing is you treasure truth.
Yeah.
You know, and your wife should not compromise you in that, or your loved ones. You should not compromise yourself for your loved ones. That's foolish. And that's dangerous. You say, no, I don't do that. You say that yourself.
But even if you did, it's like you said, we're all just learning. Doesn't matter, natural, it has to be. I mean, for example, when you're in livelihood, it's more harder not to lie, isn't it? If someone comes and tells you, wants to buy stuff from you, and you have to say certain things to convince that person that your stuff is good.
That I don't like.
I think it's
harder, I'm saying.
Yeah, it's harder.
But that takes better skill, and the more skill that's accumulated, the better. Yeah. If someone asks a difficult question, you can pause and think about something that's true. Mm. And I think there are many things you
But
can
it's
say.
Harder, given yeah, it's that harder. If you're in the business and the sales are not good and everything, so it's hard. But in a normal situation, where it's not necessary to lie at all. I mean, it's never necessary, but there's not that much pressure.
Mm. It may be harder, but it's not impossible.
It's not impossible, but it's hard.
Yeah, I agree. Surely, you know, especially when people put you in awkward situations, but I think you can treasure truth and respect Dhamma. And say, if they put you in a, or if they see, they don't really put you in an uncomfortable
well,
position.
The thing is that so long as there's kilesas, it's going to come out anyway. So we're here to, not to, you know, expect of the other person that they have to be perfect, but just to remind each other about what's kusala, what's not, what's akusala. Isn't it, Achan, we're here just to remind each other not to expect from the other to be right all the time, just to remind what's right and what's wrong?
When you're friendly, people understand.
Yes.
And when you talk about the truth, this is not good as that. See, they enjoy the truth because they know that you are a good friend to tell the truth. So even it's better or it's not as better or it's just bad, you just say that, depending on whether they like to have which, the better one or just the ordinary
one. Oh, you're talking about selling
anything,
things.
Anything.
No, I do that. I do that all the time. I tell people, sometimes they're surprised why I say this is not so good.
Yeah,
I do that.
But they are so pleased to have good friends to tell them the truth.
And I think running business, honesty is so important. Like the flower, when I asked the owner to add a few more flowers, I would like to pay. And he would say, no, it's enough. That's already good. And then he would rather not to make extra money. So a very honest person. And then you want to go back or you want to tell your friend to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good you are telling your customers.
I'm not thinking about that. I'm just saying that there is a difference between a situation in livelihood and a situation when it's not concerning livelihood. For me, it's more difficult. I think it's not for me, means in from my understanding, it's more difficult not to lie while doing business than to not to lie when it's not concerning with
But I know for some situation I would lie. For example, if a friend who is dying, And then if the friend is asking me about his child or something, some information, but I might just tell him.
Say he's saying, how's my son? Suppose they're in an accident.
Right, right.
And he's asking, he's concerned about the son.
Right.
And you say, because you don't want him to feel distressed, right?
I would just
something like that.
Right.
There's a way of putting things, not necessarily a line. There's always a way of putting it.
Skillful speech.
That's a lie. I said opposite. I mislead the person. That's a lie.
That doesn't necessarily happen. Sometimes you can also put it in a different way.
A lie is when you say something that's not true and you have intention to deceive that person.
I mean, let's say at Sotapanna, what would she say? She would not tell a lie for sure. Right?
Impossible.
Different Sotapanna
message. At the same time, find the best way to say it to the other person.
Well, even you just being silent, then that person may know what does that mean.
What about he's not in good state?
He's what? Not in good state, right.
Includes everything.
I don't understand it.
When it's serious, or when he died, we can say, he's not good.
Just say that it's not in a good state.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or say he's hurt. Mm-hmm. But if he's dead?
Not good state.
Mm. Okay. Not good.
So leave it to conditions. When there's more understanding, you can say something which is not a lie.
Yeah,
that's
true. Always.
I mean, it's just something we're working so hard to with an idea of self to try to figure out what to do in a situation, and just shows how little understanding there is.
We were talking a little bit last night about Widudaba, who has vengeance. He wanted to kill the Sakyans because his father, Pasenadi, had been lied to by the Sakyans, and Widudaba wanted to take revenge against the Sakyans, and he told his soldiers to kill all the Sakyans, and when the soldiers came across a Sakyan, they asked him, are you a Sakyan? And they were Sotapanna, many of them were Sotapanna. They put a little herb in their mouth, and when they were asked the question, they said, oh, that's a pot herb. That's a pot herb. It's not a... So they just didn't answer the question. And so the soldiers just got annoyed with them and they left, because if they had said they were Sakyans, they would have been killed. But they had attachment to life. Mm. But they deflected the question skillfully by saying, oh, it's a pot herb, and they just refused to answer. So they were okay. So there's just...
Well, they may not be attached to life. Maybe at a different moment they don't want the person to kill.
Well, that's another aspect. Yeah.
Another
too.
Can be... Right. But, you know, they're Sotapannas.
But I think it's a good point you made, Vince, that they realised that if he were to kill, especially a Sotapanna, that would be heavy karma. Bad karma for them.
Right, right.
So they helped them, and that, so they had compassion at the same time. Mm. So that's a good thing, obviously. So you don't... I think the more skillful you get, the more conditions there will be to become more skillful in the future, and to meet people who will help you to be skillful.
Actually, we rely so much on words, but actually reality does not require any words.
That's why you talk a lot about many, many things, not the reality.
We're not going to go away with these words. We're going to go
but
with attachment, ignorance.
Great understanding can understand whatever it says, no matter what it's about.
You know how Chinese, the character there, they combine Dharma with all the other words.
Mm-hmm.
So many, like the way you do this, they put a do in Dharma. They always put a Dharma.
What does it mean?
I don't know how to explain that.
Only the word.
Only the word. Only the word. Right, right.
Niruti,
sure.
But it's Sambidham.
Yeah. It's like in when we say, what's your view? And in Chinese, there is a Dharma after view.
What's
your view? Yeah, it's lost. It's lost.
It's like chanting without understanding. You can even do it with more and more ignorance and attachment. So if you're it's everywhere, which is what is meant to be a reminder about reality turns out to be an object of attachment. If there's no understanding, if they don't even have the beginning of Pariyati, then it's useless.
Yeah. I mean, at that time, back in the time, maybe more than 1,000 years ago, probably they have a reminder as a reminder
maybe,
of thinking
maybe,
about
talking
but about
I don't
Dhamma.
Think it's necessary to make to write it that way, because the reminder is in that it's now, seeing now. Mm-hmm. That's the best reminder. Then it becomes in the book.
It's in the book.
Yeah.
Even the law, the regulation, is at the Dhamma in the vocabulary.
But I think, you know, and I'm sure it is, because I know there's a lot of some Chinese characters, from what I understand, they're like pictograms, are little pictures, and they can tell you about what the word means, what the word's trying to say in that picture of that. Like I understand the word for danger.
Mm-hmm.
Means it's a combination of characters, which means it means opportunity, something like opportunity.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's another word in there, and it's got the danger, it means an opportunity to learn or something like that.
Yeah.
So I mean, but I think what Ajahn is referring to, so it can tell you a little bit about, not necessarily you don't have to be scared, but it's not, as Ajahn pointed out, explaining about Dhamma in the deeper sense, like the fine details, which will help you to truly understand what that word means. But I think I know what you're saying, that sometimes in the Chinese...
I mean, you know that people can just open the Tipitaka and read without any understanding, right?
Mm-hmm.
So same thing. Direct words of the Buddha can be read with no understanding, or even, as you say, wrong understanding.
No matter now and then, people would like to find the answer by themselves, but they don't realize that when there is more understanding of the teachings of reality, it answers any questions.
Mm-hmm. What's it?
It's the understanding that answers any question, any relevant, any important question is the understanding that will answer, do the answer, and it, any situation. Whereas people with no understanding try to find their own way to get answers.
And I remember in the Mahayana tradition, there's this idea of a...
What did you want to say, Ajahn?
Pardon?
You wanted to say something.
Yes, because even in the Buddha's time, when monks were together, they talk about many things, just wanting to solve problems, or the answer by themselves, trying to think.
Mm.
But when... there is the understanding more and more. The answer is there. Because each word represents reality. What are the thinking at that moment? Lobha cannot solve. Dosa cannot. Ignorance cannot. It's one's own accumulation to think this way or that way. But in terms of Dhamma, see, the best answer is it's gone, no matter how much we thought about that.
I think that's why we talk a lot, because we don't understand that it's gone.
Otherwise, nothing can bring one back to this present moment. Just for the thought about this and that. Even looking out, and there is the idea of a woman is there, thinking, see, and gone, everything.
This morning we were just sharing the first time I met with Ajahn, the first day discussion in Hanoi, you asked about a question of, is there seeing now? And I was never heard of that kind of question before. So during the night, I woke up in the middle of the night thinking, is there seeing now? I didn't know the significance at all at that time. And then gradually appreciated the significance of this question.
I mean, I wanted to ask you, what do you think of Socrates saying the life unexamined is the life not worth living?
Well, that's true. Yeah. But then it's how you examine it.
Yeah, that he didn't know. But no, I'm wondering, Ajahn, that even someone like that who does not know about Dhamma, who's not heard the teachings, knows that life is useless if it's just unquestioned. No.
Without previous accumulation, can there be conditioned to think like that?
Think like that, yeah.
So you think Sariputta and Moggallana, what were their thought looking at the entertainment on the hill? See? Or when one is young, one was young, or one, where everyone was, there can be such thinking about the truth, and then they're gone. Because it's not the right words to have more meaning to add.
It's the past accumulations that's taking effect, but not through hearing the Dhamma. So,
that's, even though there might have been a lot of accumulated panya, as you mentioned, Ajahn, in the case of Kulita and Sariputta.
Once I was sick in the school, and we have the restroom for the sick. I was there alone. The idea came in slowly only. See, how can they such thinking?
So lonely?
Yes, because I was the only person in that room. And usually there's no idea about to be alone. But it conditioned the thought about so lonely, nothing at all. See? So many accumulations stored from time to time, from life to life, when there's no right word to make it more variable, then it's only some idea.
Some idea.
Yeah, about that. Why not thinking about parents, friends, and so on? That's so lonely. Even right now, it can be at moment of hearing, no one, so alone.
But the word lonely and alone are very different.
It depends, because you see that can there be some moment thinking about lonely or to be alone, even they are different.
And they can be both attached. Attachment can attach to being alone, and even lonely can be attached.
No, but Ajahn is referring to
chittas alone, right?
Yeah, I mean, right.
No one.
Any thought can come in by conditions.
Yeah. Right.
Even it's not clear as the moment, it's not self, but some idea underlying the thinking.
So it's going to depend on the type of thinking.
It depends on what conditions at that time.
Also accumulation condition.
Even a thinking, a moment of thinking, you don't know. How come?
I mean, someone might find himself alone and then have fear. But Ajahn wasn't talking about that, that kind of state. Ajahn was questioning the
how come the idea or
what went through your mind at that time?
Alone. So lonely.
Because what Sundara is saying is that in the English language, the word lonely and alone are different.
Yes.
Lonely means
no one.
It means you need friends and you don't have friends, so you feel sad. That is not what you mean. You're saying you're alone. So we are wondering what was the significance of that moment.
Have you such idea before?
That you're alone? Means, like, even now you're alone? Is that that type of alone?
The meaning of soul. If I say lonely, no one else at all in the world, because one is alone. So it depends on what kind of feeling, idea, thinking after that. You cannot stop conditions.
No.
Like a monk in the forest in the Buddha's time, when he heard the sound of music, he thought, I'm so lonely. See, it can be conditioned, the combination of many, many.
Or he suddenly realized that
all
this time there was no one around. Suddenly there's somebody. Something like that.
Well, also I understand at that time he was thinking of his life as a lay person with all his friends and all the nice music around. So
he felt lonely, yeah.
And then he's by himself alone in the forest. So he felt alone and lonely, I suspect. But
Just to reflect, Acharya, you're saying just to reflect on the present situation. Normally people don't reflect at all. They just flow with lopa. You had some reflection on the different, okay.
So many things could happen at any time by conditions, whether it's serious or not, or just a glimpse, or just sleeping, we don't know. But it's motivated by accumulation, for sure, unknown.
So it is very much possible that there are people who have lots of good accumulations but just no chance to hear the Dhamma.
Like when we talk about Socrates.
Socrates.
Or anyone who hasn't heard the teachings yet, but the accumulation can condition different thinking, different thoughts or ideas.
Like in your case, when you were vice president, you started thinking. Maybe that time you didn't hear the Dhamma, so your thinking was not in line with the Dhamma, but still you started to question.
I wanted to practice the past. That was wrong understanding. That was the practice when I was very involved in the meditation center. And it's difficult to tell because they don't want money. They don't want any social status. And they just want to make you appreciate Dhamma. So many, many people, so it grew very fast. The meditation center is over 400 centers around the world now.
Goenkas. See, the attachment can be attached to anything except Nibbana and Lokuttara Dhammas.
Right, right.
So it's not surprising. People will, you see Indian gurus and all that who live very austere lives. They don't eat one meal a day, but they're happy that people appreciate them.
That's why the subtlety to start correctly is so magical.
The only way is to hear the Dhamma.
But even hearing the Dhamma, you need understanding to understand the Dhamma. Also personal experience, and many, many other people has benefit. They improve their daily life. They become less angry, that kind of thing. Or someone who has pain for 20 years and then go there for 10 days, it's recovered.
Mm. That's what they are looking for.
Mm. And it's funny, isn't it, that after hearing the Dhamma, we don't mind that we are angry.
Right. Yeah.
It's a Dhamma.
It sometimes happens. But, you can let it go.
Nobody lets go. It's just whether there's understanding or not, it just rises and falls away. But it's just conditioned to rise. If ignorance, then it's ignorance. There's ignorance.
So it's so valuable to hear.
To know the truth. It's so valuable. To know that if you're stupid, know that you're stupid. And it's so dangerous to think that you're not when you are. So Achan, the person who likes, who appreciates the Dhamma is someone must have accumulated, otherwise not. Must have heard a lot.
Because anything can be object of attachment. For example, if we say, just live to develop Parami, because we understand what Parami is. But for those who just crave for everything, live to develop Parami. They try very hard to develop it, not knowing that Parami is understanding and all other wholesomeness, which is conditioned rather than having as usual akusala as before by conditions. Because one knows it's not easy to attain enlightenment. Because only with understanding, or understanding itself, can do that.
So, Chan, what you're saying is that I can understand that as understanding develops, other kusla also develops. So, in a way, they support each other. But you're also saying that it's impossible for understanding alone to do the job. What does that mean?
Can it arise at will?
It cannot, just like any Dhamma.
So it needs other factors.
So in that case, how does kusala help, except that at that moment there's no akusala?
No exception, but it means that akusala cannot arise together with kusala.
That's it.
That's why one realizes that it has to be one's own understanding. From hearing, considering, and developing kusala instead of akusala. Anytime. Otherwise, it's time for akusala again and again and again.
But that only Panya understands.
That's it.
I guess it's just wasting life away because we all have to die. Better than a kusala, just sleep.
That's it.
But then again, you're going to die, so why not develop kusala instead?
So why sleep? Not develop kusala.
And we were talking yesterday about if next life we're born as animals, then it's we're in the situation of the turtle coming out of that. It's very hard to again be born.
It depends on a momentarily.
Just one moment.
And pandya, little by little.
But I was also I came to the conclusion and I said to them, because Vince was concerned about the sasana going, you know, ending and then no chance to hear the Dhamma. So we talked about the chance of being born in a higher realm where the Dhamma is still present. And I said that if there's accumulated Panya, between someone with accumulated Panya and someone who is no Panya, the chance for the one with accumulated Panya to be born in a realm where there is still Dhamma is more, right?
So it depends on Panya.
Panya, accumulated Panya. So Panya anyway, Panya now, past, future, it's Panya which is the deciding factor. I mean Panya, your Panya is what accumulated you to meet Achan in this life.
Also the Ala Kusala, right? Has to be Ala...
But you're born as a human is Kusala, for sure. But it is Panya that caused you to, like birds of a feather flock together kind of thing.
Yeah, for this case, I was reading the books. That's why, and it led me to...
So what's the way to keep the sasana, the teachings?
I was not concerned about. No.
But the question is...
The question is what?
What way best to keep the sasana?
What's the best way to keep sasana?
Or to help people? Because you are concerning about... Sasana, the teachings.
End of the teachings.
Help people to...
Or you just understand.
Understand, yeah, help.
When there's no understanding, there's no sasana.
Right, right.
So you shouldn't depend on this or that person, but it's your own understanding.
Right, right. And also help other people to understand.
Yes, but if you don't have your own understanding, how can you have?
Yeah.
How can
I think Ajahn is talking about for you, just the idea of sasana, the value of Dhamma, comes from your own understanding, right?
Right.
So all this idea about the maintaining the sasana and all that comes from your understanding of what the sasana is. So if you don't have understanding, you won't even care.
Yeah.
Right? So that is where the source is, how the sasana is maintaining your own understanding.
But for people who even have just weak understanding, they could still have the motivation to share. But could be...
Depending on how great Panya is.
People share anyway. We are all very keen to share what we believe is valuable.
I know what you mean.
Right.
Okay.
So even if you don't... If you're a Hindu, a worshipper of Krishna, Rama, you want to share...
share wrong understanding.
Share wrong understanding.
Right.
And I think as a student of Dhamma, you know that to be careful not to share wrong understanding.
Right.
Follow the Vinaya, that's a good start, you could say. But
it's better a lay person, a good lay person, than a monk.
I hear what you're saying. But anyway, I was there and it sort of feels so shallow because you can't talk about anything really because he's a monk and you're a lay person and you just...
Keep on asking just a little bit at a time for them to think about.
Yes. Yeah.
Usually we don't have that much understanding. We are impatient. So it's hard.
Yeah, and...
That is why metta is so important, to be good friend.
Yes, that's true. It's always a good thing to
remember. Even they don't get it, it's all right, as long as we're a good friend.
Yeah.
We give them opportunity to hear if they would listen. But if they wouldn't listen, it's useless.
Yeah, it's difficult when people don't appreciate it.
Usually they mention their own teacher all the time, about the name of the teacher.
Yes. And because he's got a lot of, as you said, like the chua people.
They forget about the highest teacher.
Yes.
If I was a bhikkhu, I'd be so ashamed if someone put a sticker on the car with my name on it.
But that, I don't think, I think you have to be very always careful, and I think Ajahn talked about metta, to be friendly. And that's the important thing. If there is a kusala, that's not Dhamma. And we have to be careful.
And you have hard work to help the Mahayanist.
Yes.
But of course, we don't know each person's accumulations. But the tradition itself, Mahayana, is a very long tradition. So to expect Mahayana to change is impossible. It's only each individual.
But if we don't mind Mahayana or Theravada, it depends on whether they are listening to the truth or not.
But if someone is very attached, because those who are attached, let's say a Westerner, who has a choice between Theravada and Mahayana, someone finds the Theravada makes sense, as in the path of the Arahat, the other one path of the Bodhisattva. Some people find the path of the Bodhisattva.
So we have to put the problem or the question like, what is meant by Arahat?
What I'm trying to say is that some people find the idea of working towards other people's enlightenment first more attractive, very attractive. So for them, to convince them that that's wrong is very hard.
But it's time for them to forget about
all their background, yeah. Everything. Yeah, it's for everyone, even the person who's a Theravada, same thing. So it's all back to the same position.
It's really hard for people who say that. They don't see that really they're captured with the idea of themselves.
It is.
And what they want to do.
It is the opposite of what they're claiming.
Yeah, that's right.
They're not thinking about others at all, they're thinking about themselves.
That's right. But it's easy to become trapped by that and to think it's good. And of course, and even in the name Maha, which means great, of course, it can sound, and when you think of Theravada, or sometimes they call Theravada Hinayana, which means low, and actually the word hina is a kusala. It means something that's bad. It's not, it's hina widiyam, it's like you're a useless person. So it's not, and they named themselves Maha, and they named us Hina, which is really so arrogant. But however, that's, and it's up for the wise person to consider carefully. Just because somebody calls themselves Maha, is it really
Maha?
Or, you know, is it in actual fact Hina, is what they've called us? So it's just a name, and John was talking about being friendly is the important thing. So when someone says Hina to us, we can just ideally have some understanding of that moment. And I know that one thing, I was kind of attracted towards Mahayana at one time, because they said one of the Buddhas, he held up a flower and many people became enlightened.
Oh.
There's that belief there that you just have to be still and you just have to watch the flower or something, or think about something beautiful. And it's very tempting just to believe that. It's so simple, but they say it's very complex too. So they say you don't have to even hear the Dhamma. You just have to watch some of the great disciples in Mahayana tradition. They just had to see the flower, and that was enough for them to be enlightened.
Achan, can you say something about the harm of misunderstanding the Dhamma?
It leads you to more wrong understanding.
And what about other kinds of akusala?
Just being akusala of different level.
Would the wrong understanding of Dhamma lead to more akusala in other ways also?
It depends. For some people, they have good accumulation to be good, but very firm, wrong understanding that you can see from their words, like the missionaries.
Can we say, Ajahn, just considering what I've just heard, that I think of some people who they're involved with helping refugees, and they seem to me to have a lot of confidence, not a level that we know, but a lot of confidence in being good and helping people because they see the results.
What about the understanding? That's the question.
Yeah, they don't have that.
No matter what.
I mean, there are two kinds of sattva. Sattva of the Eightfold Path and sattva in there.
So they have sattva, sadha, at that level of sattva, at the level of kusala.
Yeah.
So there is a confidence in doing good things. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
That's why we better ask the listeners to have their thinking about what's right and what's wrong and what is true and what is not true. Otherwise, if we just tell them, they don't have their own considering at all.
Mm-hmm. So as you say, metta, when metta, then we're thinking about the other person.
Understanding. Not our own understanding, that like them to understand this or that. Like now. See? Exactly like now. You'd like the listeners to have more and more right understanding, to understand this moment. But you cannot force anyone to have their own thoughts about this and that.
No, you can't. And it's, I think it's to be very patient and compassionate to you, because it's the
know the right time, the right words.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always the risk of saying what you want to say and it's the wrong time, wrong place, wrong person.
Still, it's becoming clearer, Ajahn, not totally clear. But when you say that, it helps me to understand, and it's a good reminder that there are realities appearing. And
if Buddha didn't say anything, we don't have any idea about Chakkhuvijñāna and that before Chakkhuvijñāna and that after Chakkhuvijñāna.
We don't. No, we don't. It's all about me and being essentially quite selfish.
And there are conditions to condition direct awareness. But with no expectation how long it will be. That's why it is parami. Keep on developing right understanding.
When you say that's why it's parami, parami because it means it's something that needs to be done all the time.
Yes, because how can you get to the understanding of reality right now without parami? But it's not just wanting to develop it.
No.
It's the necessity, the need.
The understanding understands the need.
Yes. Without it, it's impossible.
Yeah. And it's easy to, I know, to be forgetful.
And usually people are interested in other parami rather than panya parami.
So what are you thinking about there, Ajahn, when you say that other people are interested in...
Because they are interested in giving, in helping, in sila.
But can we say that's parami, really?
No. Only with understanding.
Only with wisdom. Okay.
So no, by understanding that there cannot be always panya.
No.
That's why it needs
support,
help or helpful things to condition panya. If you just think about yourself, not dana, then the self is getting stronger and stronger for this and that, for giving and for so on.
It's a natural tendency to be selfish.
That's why. Why it's parami? Because it's the moment of even just letting go the self attachment to be able to give away things or to give away the harsh words or whatever which is accusing.
When you say to give away the harsh words, you mean to refrain from saying the opposite?
Just even a moment. It can condition more and more moment of kusa. That's why seeing just very, very tiny kilesa. For those who have right understanding, it's not just as tiny, it's like a big cloud to be seen.
So all these finer understandings that we can have about parami, that's another aspect of Patisambhita also.
Otherwise, how can there be conditions for such level, of understanding? And goodness cannot be barely without understanding. No matter how much good deeds one has done with the idea of self, more and more clinging to I, because it's very, very tricky.
I can appreciate that more and more, Ajahn, that how important understanding is to support all levels of kusala. And then, as you said,
but
it's...
But misunderstanding as the core of everything.
The core.
Without that, it cannot be part of me.
No.
For example, to do good deeds like giving away things, without understanding that actually there is no one at all. See, not me and not from me, but it is the wholesome conditions to have a condition that letting go, little by little. So in order to let go of the wrong understanding, this is, has to be done, first of all. And no expectation to realize the enlightenment, Nibbana, not at all, impossible. Just begin to understand it, no self, better and better. Otherwise, how can there be the moment of being aware of such and such reality right now, by conditions, no selection at all, whatever object, depending on how much understanding is there.
That feels so true, Ajahn, when you say that. Makes...
And the right things of Dhamma has to be right, because whenever it arises, no expectation. So there is more and more confidence on anattaness. That's why without the understanding of that reality, there is I, the latent tendency of I. That's why it has to go with understanding, no matter what kind of wholesomeness. Dhana, see, more understanding about no one, no self. What is there according to conditions? And it's gone completely. Without understanding, different from with understanding, which a little growing from time to time. So the best thing is hearing the teachings, and at that moment, wise considering can condition more understanding of no one. That's why the understanding, the difference between no awareness and awareness arises by conditions only, are very important.
Sure, if I quite understood that the difference between no awareness and awareness arising by conditions.
Now, now, no awareness, awareness arises by conditions. And how much understanding is there when it is the beginning of direct awareness?
Very little moments, just
comparing to moments of development, to be quite very strong and very sharp. To have such a moment among the other appearance of many, many nimitta.
And then after that, citta will reveal normally. If there's
just
a direct
little
experience.
Understanding until it appears well to Vipassana Jnana. No doubt, see, because only one characteristic appears. No world, no other world at all. Everything just gone at that moment when it appears as just one. So each of the Buddhas will condition more and more understanding, but very gradually.
And samasati can be so impressive. So for those who experience that, they know there's no method. For those who encourage practice, standardized practice, to cultivate satipatthana, that means they never experienced the satipatthana. Once you experience that, you know there's no method.
Because the eye is there.
And that direct experience can be so powerful that...
But from stage to stage.
Yeah.
Because just not many moments, between 1,000 and 100 moments, it's weak. Mm-hmm. But it shows up as it is, to be known, but not enough. That's why when we read about Abhidhamma, all are anatta by conditions, different conditions of each reality.